The following presentation is brought to you by Rant Entertainment Media. For the entertainment you love and the opinions and history you crave, visit rantenradio.com. The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment. Every week, The Shining Wizards is brought to you free of charge, and we thank you for listening. But if you'd like to help support the show in other ways, here's a few things that you can do to help. Go to iTunes and Stitcher and leave us a review. If you shop at Amazon, visit amazon.shiningwizards.com and shop the way you usually do. It won't cost you anything extra, and a small percentage of your purchase will help support the show. If you'd like to buy some of our merchandise, visit prowrestlingtees.com/shiningwizards or shiningwizards.com/merch and purchase one of our t-shirts or some of our other great stuff. Follow us on Twitter at Wizards Podcast. Become our friend on Facebook at Shining Wizards. Check out our Instagram photos at Wizards Podcast. And for all our videos, visit youtube.com/theshiningwizards. The Shining Wizards is available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom, TuneIn, The Shining Wizards Network, ShiningWizards.com, and Tuesdays live at 7 p.m. East on SWLive.net and RantEMRadio.com. From all of us at The Shining Wizards, we thank you for your continued support.
Yo, what's up? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, and you're listening to The Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
I have a small dick.
No, what?
God damn. Woo!
Your favorite version of the Shining Wizards, Tony and Kevin, back in Studio A after 17 years, 5 months, 2 weeks.
That's right.
And several days. It's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
And sometimes, Kevin, when we talk about wrestling, we get hungry. And what do we do when we're hungry? We order Blue Apron.
That's right.
Go to ShiningWizards.com and get in on the Wizards special. Click the banner. Save $30 off your first order. And I've got to be honest with you, I'm still subscribed, and I still love yelling at the stove while I'm trying to make good, delicious food. But when it's all said and done, and my fingers are only half burned, I've got something delicious that I made myself.
And you feel like a real man.
Dude, like a fucking gorilla. I mean, look at these hands.
Gorilla.
These are the hands of a man that has burned his hands several times, if you will.
Have you made something that maybe not because of Blue Apron, but that you fucked up royally and had to throw out?
No, wait, not necessarily Blue Apron.
But like, have you ever cooked something so fucking bad that you wouldn't feed it to your child or your wife?
Well,
or you had to have poison tested before?
Well, I mean, I'll pretty much feed them anything. I don't give a shit. Like, I'm the guy that'll cook chicken and 2 weeks later I'll see if it's in the fridge, if it's still good.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really like throwing shit like that away. My wife, on the other hand, likes to hoard all kinds of other things in the pantry. Crackers, cookies, tea bags, all that other good shit.
Tea bags.
Yeah, so she won't throw any of that away. But I, on the other hand, like, if I defrost a chicken, say, like, on Thursday, I'll take it out and cook it tomorrow. Like, I don't give a shit it's been in the fridge for 6 days. What the fuck?
Well, these Twisted Teas have been here for 17 years, 5 months, and 2 days. And
your stomach is tougher than mine for you to crack those bad boys open.
They are delicious. Well, listen, I'm on my way down here. And the road that the liquor store is on to get there, the road was closed.
How much of a panic struck you when you saw you couldn't make the left?
First thing I do, check what time it is. Second thing I do, get out Waze and type in liquor stores near here.
Where did you wind up going?
I didn't go anywhere. I realized.
Oh, that's right. You came with nothing. That's right.
I realized we were getting close to going live, and we needed to do a little show prep. So I came right here. But you had some. some teas from the Bush administration.
Yes, from the days of yore, as we like to say here on the range. Yeah, so anything that I've burned, like I've destroyed cookies. I tried to make brownies out of cookie dough one time, and I just sort of mushed it into like this like light brown, like Obama colored, like, it was just like, it looked like a pate inside the cookie sheet.
I love how you had to like describe the color brown using race because no one knows what the color brown is.
No, it wasn't, but it wasn't brown like the couch that you and I are sitting on.
Your couches aren't brown.
They're like tan.
All right, tan is not brown.
Well, what would you say? I'd say Puerto Rican brown, maybe?
No, brown in...
All right, so, compare the couch to the wood grain on the walls and tell me, like,
neither one are brown. Brown would be, like, the stripe, the horizontal stripe in your curtain over there.
Really? But there's so many different shades of brown.
Are there?
There's 16.7 million colors that your computer monitor can put out. You can't tell me there's not more than one color brown anywhere.
Nah, there's only one.
All right, what about the star that's behind Jusaurus? That's
burgundy.
Oh, that looks purple. Brown to me.
It looks like burgundy.
I got to be honest with you, though. My eyes are fucking shot, so you might be completely right on that. But anyway, so you ask if I've ever fed these things. So I made this probably when I was like 10 or 11 years old.
Oh, that doesn't count.
Well, and my mother's friend came over. She was visiting. Like, they were having like woman time. Not with their periods, just like getting together.
I had
this monstrosity, and she actually ate a piece of it to be nice, and I think she got sick from it.
Sounds about right. I would never eat something a 10-year-old made.
Why not? Boogerlicious.
That's true.
nothing like homegrown spices going in there, baby.
Brutal. Brutal.
Do you cook a lot?
No. Fuck no. Fucking microwave, hot dogs. I can make a good Reuben.
That's right. You've always said you can make good Reubens.
I can make a hell of a Reuben.
But we've yet to see this Reubenous
stink up the basement with sauerkraut and fucking...
Well, I mean, you don't have to make it down here. You know, we can enjoy it down here.
I make a good Reuben, and I could make a decent... No, that's probably about it.
All right. So, I mean, it's a start. Now, you toast the bread?
No, you butter it up and you put it on the pan.
Oh, you grill it. Oh, nice.
No, you just cook it. I guess if I had to...
So it's kind of like making a grilled cheese.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Ooh, your voice got funny there.
I think I got a spit bubble.
Like, basically.
Wizards we are.
Well, it's good.
Puberty.
It's good to at least have two of us back together. Like, I feel like I haven't fucking done the show in like...
Well, listen, in about 5 minutes, because you wouldn't take my call last week, I feel like you're going to throw me out of your house before the show's over.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Listen, I tried, and did you go back and listen? I wholeheartedly apologize.
I actually did listen.
It was not a Kathy Griffin apology either. It was a sincere, from the heart, not afraid I was going to get fired, just felt really bad apology.
Well, Tony, I mean... You've broken me. All right, you've broken me. I'm broken, Kevin Garifo. Kathy Griffin's delightful. I don't know why I'm a magician. I can't do his voice. The President Matt Hardy.
Well, of course, we got to have another election this year.
Nah, 4 years is the term.
Oh, 4 years.
That's the term, man.
Good Lord.
Now we can do it again.
That was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. As I confessed last week, I haven't been watching too much of the wrestling.
Hmm.
I started, to be truthful, I started trying to catch up on WWE. For instance, I don't know if you want to do a full recap of Extreme Rules or touch on any high points.
Nah.
I know Samoa Joe won the Fatal 5-Way.
Yes, and that was really good. You should go out of your way to watch that match.
Well, I also heard that the follow-up interview between him and Paul Heyman was amazing last night.
Another home run.
But I also heard that the rest of Raw was kind of lackluster. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I didn't really... As you know, I'm a huge hockey fan, and game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals was yesterday. So
they're
2-2,
right?
Now they're 2-2.
Oh, shit.
So I was watching that, so I had to catch up. I had Raw on one of the TVs at the bar and hockey on the main one.
Multitasking, I like it.
That's why I go to the bar every Monday, because it's hot. There's always hockey or sports on, and I have to watch wrestling for this.
Do you need a second TV for home? Because I got a couple CRTs and I got an old flat screen I could give you.
Might not be a bad idea.
Well, you can figure it out. But anyway.
And so I had to catch up on Raw after, and I watched it today. on YouTube. So it was pretty good. A lot of stuff I did kind of enjoy. I don't know if you want to jump ahead. But the Samoa Joe...
I don't really care about Extreme Rules. I know that there's new tag champs, Cesaro, and what's-his-nuts beat him in the cage.
Yeah, and they weren't on... Hardys weren't on Raw.
Are they even more broken now?
I don't. Like, I guess maybe that's what they're going to do.
I don't know. 3 hours of Raw, got to get them cruiserweights in.
But they did some good stuff with the cruiserweights, with TJ Perkins... Austin Aries finally turning on TJ Perkins after TJ Perkins was asking for his promised title shot.
Storylines!
So there was that. They continued with the Enzo and Cass getting jumped, not knowing who did it this
time.
Wait,
each of them is getting jumped?
This time, after 2 weeks of Enzo, I believe, Cass was jumped this time. And then Big Show was his replacement.
Whoa. Partner
and Enzo and Cass beat Big Show and Cat and wow Big Show and Enzo Big Zo but you know what, that if they were a tag team, that's what their tag team name would
call
be,
fucking Bozo,
dude. That's what they're, well, all right, that's pretty good. But tell me that's not what their tag team would be.
No, you're absolutely right. That's
because they brought us Breezango.
That's why they're marketing geniuses over at the E.
So, like, Show and Zoe, that's what they'd be called, Show and Zoe.
Fuck! I like it.
And they beat the club.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
So a makeshift tag team takes out the fucking, the Brotherhood.
Yeah, but it's the Big Show.
Wait, I gotta fucking I was trying not to use the soundboard copiously tonight, but what the fuck?
And it's... It was actually pretty well done. I actually like that storyline, but everyone thinks that Cass is going to turn.
Oh, God, I hope so.
No, I think it's because I actually think and I think I've seen this once somewhere before. I think it's the Revival.
That they're fucking taking him out?
Yeah.
And you think maybe Enzo's going to leave Cass in the dust?
I don't know. It's fucking weird, though, because you, like, last night there was another segment. It was a Kurt Angle somebody segment. No, somebody else. I forget. But anyway, but in the back, you just see the Revival talking to each other. Kind of like that fucking midget that hung itself in the Wizard of Oz at the end. You just kind of see him in the back. Not really sure what's going on.
You compared the Revival to a dead midget?
That's right.
A midget that hung himself.
Yes.
On the set of a fucking world famous movie.
Yeah. I thought the comparison was spot on.
Well, if you wanted to go for the kid references, you should have went for the Three Men and a Baby reference.
Oh, with the shotgun?
The kid holding the shotgun.
Yeah, but that was blatant. The one in the Revival were like all the way back there, like in the deep.
You know what's
like the swinging midget.
You know what's so great, though? Like, we live in an era where, like, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that was like fucking like, yeah, you ever see that scene in Buzz?
Yeah.
Now, 2 seconds, you can pull you that scene up and figure it out and be fucking mesmerized.
Yeah.
Instantaneously. It's a good thing and a bad thing because, you know, sometimes you just want the mystery around it, like the build up, like the last Battle of Atlanta. How fucking long they talked about that shit, and then somebody found it in the trunk of their car, and you know what?
Yeah. And back then, like, every time it came on, like, you would want to watch, like, you were like, oh, Wizard of Oz is on? I got to watch just for that scene.
Yes.
And now I can go find it anytime I want to, even though I probably still wouldn't watch Wizard of Oz.
Saves time.
It does save time.
Fuck it.
So, yeah, the Samoa Joe stuff, though, was fucking great. I'm not sure how let me ask you this. How do you feel with this stupid fucking Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view coming up? And that's where we're getting Joe and Lesnar. With SummerSlam literally right around the corner and possibly not getting Joe and Lesnar at SummerSlam.
And the talk was supposed to be Strowman, but he's out hurt, isn't he?
Yeah.
He have surgery on some shit
Unless
it's going to be Super Strowman and he's going to come back early. I like that Joe is the number one contender. I think
Do you think it's just a push, like a holdover?
Oh, probably.
But that's the only thing I'm upset about with the whole thing, because it seems like it's going to be a holdover.
Well,
for SummerSlam.
Who knows? I mean, maybe the fact that Goldberg had that series with Lesnar shows that Lesnar maybe is more vulnerable than people thought he was.
Yeah.
And maybe Samoa Joe gets like a good match against him, but just comes up short. If that happens, I wouldn't be disappointed. But if it's fucking German suplexes fucking 200 times dropping Samoa Joe on his head, I'd be a little pissed off.
Yeah, I agree. And I do And I do, the last night started a fucking great build up to it. So, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, because it's in 2 weeks, isn't it?
Probably. One of them is. The SmackDown pay-per-view's in 2 weeks. Ugh,
way too much. There's just way too much money to be made, though. I don't think you put the fucking lid back on that. We've talked about that for fucking 14 decades on this show, and that shit's never going to change. Anything else from Raw?
Raw.
I heard Big Bad Nia Jax was beating bitches up everywhere.
I didn't watch that.
Well, I mean, this is what I read. It's not that I saw it or anything. Although, you know me, I love me some Alexa Bliss.
That is true. She's a smoke show.
So, Bayley, I heard, might be in the doghouse.
Really?
She didn't look so great in her match. And, I mean, I just read this, so like I can't tell you, you know, what happened from firsthand knowledge. But from what I understand, like, Bayley was pretty much beat to shit and lost pretty convincingly.
Yeah. That sounds about right. I didn't watch that match or the match on Raw.
All right, fair enough. Whatever, you know. But if Nia Jax is getting the push now, I just hope she's not dropping bitches on her head like she did to Charlotte a few months ago.
Oof.
Yeah, that's some fucking scary shit.
Raw. Miz won the Intercontinental title at Extreme Rules
for the 50th time.
Yeah, Jesus fuck.
You know what? He's cemented himself for the Hall of Fame. There's no doubt.
Oh, 100%.
No doubt about it. I would like to see him get another shot at the big championship, though, but...
As would I, but...
Time will tell on that.
He's not in the picture now.
Well, he can't be. There's just way too many guys at the top right now. And you know what? The fact that he and Ambrose are in this, like, little feud right now...
It's been going on for a year and a half.
Yeah, but you know what? It's not terrible. I could go without a few of the title switches back and forth. Like, I could have stood to lose a few of them. It's not like they were going, like, to fucking Australia and New Zealand and doing house show favors. But... You know what? I can't complain. It's been a pretty damn good feud.
It has been. And they did a segment on Raw where they were doing a celebration and Ambrose was like kicked out of the building, but he snuck back in.
Oh, he didn't buy a ticket to sit in the front row?
No, but then they had a fucking, you know how like a while ago, like he hid in like a present and jumped out and fucking attacked Seth Rollins?
Yeah.
Well, they did this ceremony where they had like a fucking mascot bear holding a sign that said congratulations. The Miz was like, oh, Maurice, you did all this, the balloons, the ceremony, the bear.
Well.
I'm sorry I did that. I was checking to see if we were still recording, and I hit the wrong button. I'm sorry, continue.
No, and then Maurice was like, I did not get the bear. So everyone thought that Ambrose was in the bear costume. So Miz immediately beats the fuck out of the bear before Ambrose has a chance to do anything. It's not the bear. Ambrose isn't the bear.
Fuck. Who was it?
It was just some jabron. And then somebody wheels out a giant present and,
Cactus Jack was in it.
No.
Abdul the Butcher was in it.
Chainsaw Charlie.
Oh, Kevin.
Why does every impression we've done tonight sounds like Paul Bearer?
Oh, Kevin.
And then that was actually a present. That was like a giant clock or something, but then the cameraman was Ambrose.
They brought out a clock?
Well, they didn't bring it out. He destroyed it, but...
Oh, so fucking contract signing, trophy presentation, birthday cake rule. Something fucking big like that is going to get wrecked.
Yep.
Nice.
So then they fucking fight and all that shit. I didn't see Finn Balor on the show, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about that, too.
No, I think because he may have wrestled last... No, wait. No, wait. Because Bray Wyatt wrestled Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Did Finn Balor wrestle Seth Rollins?
No, Samoa Joe wrestled Seth Rollins in the main event.
So maybe Finn Balor got the night off.
No Hardys or Finn?
Dude, you forget. There's 80,000 people vying for time on Raw these days.
Yeah, but those are arguably your three biggest stars.
Well, I mean, The Miz was out there.
That's right.
There you go.
Well, I mean, obviously, that may have been a stretch on my part, but I mean, they really kind of are.
Well, so Raw sounded like it was there.
I thought it was decent. From what I can remember, I thought it was pretty good.
Fair enough. And there was nothing else out of Extreme Rules that really blew you away that you could recall, remember, think about?
The main event was good, was really good.
And it was one fall to a finish, right?
Yeah. I didn't like the... This is just, I guess, me being, like, I guess, a Finn fan. Like, I'm glad I'm...
A Finn fan.
That's right. And I'm all for the Joe thing, don't get me wrong, but I'm really upset that Finn isn't in the top spot challenging. I hope it's him and Lesnar at SummerSlam.
Well, now that they have that opening, you don't think it's going to be Reigns again? I don't know. You think they're saving Reigns? They might be saving Reigns and Lesnar for WrestleMania again.
No.
They might be stretching that shit out.
See, now maybe unless like, Joe wins and then Brock, Joe at Mania. I don't know.
We're eventually going to have to put Brock Lesnar up there with the likes of, dare I say, Bob Backlund, Bruno Sammartino, Pedro Morales, just for longevity and title reigns.
God,
the
yeah,
guy gets the title and he's like champ for fucking 10 years.
Because he's never there.
Think about it. If he holds it until WrestleMania, that'll be one calendar year on the wrestling calendar that he'll be the champion. Dude, Brock Lesnar, a fucking year as champion.
Well, look in NXT. Look how long Asuka's been the women's champion.
Yeah, but I mean,
I know, but I'm just saying.
Let's be honest. Apples and oranges here. As much as like Asuka and everything, you know, that she's been doing. And she's even starting to show the heel tendencies,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, she is.
So, I mean, at least they're keeping her fresh, you know? Lesnar's just like dropping people on their heads and squashing them.
Yeah, but he'll be on the show next week. He'll be back.
Well, he has to.
Yeah, because Great Balls of Fire. God, it's so fucking funny saying that name.
What makes you think like what makes you think they come up with a name like that?
Probably just so they can use the song.
Oh God!
So I guarantee you, at some point, someone's gonna say, "Goodness gracious, Great Balls of Fire!"
That would have been a perfect phrase for Marrow to use. Fuck, man. Wait, Jerry Lee Lewis is dead, right? I'm assuming he's been dead a long time.
Yes.
Fuck, that would have been a perfect opportunity to bring him back to sing it live.
I think he may have just died recently, semi-recently.
Fuck.
If he's dead at all. Hold on, let me see.
He might not be, but I'm thinking he's got to be way up there if he's not dead.
Let's see here.
Speaking of not dead, I talked about Table for Three last week with Cornette and Bischoff.
Oh, yeah.
This week, as I sat down to have a quick bite to eat before we sat for the show, I saw on the network that there's a new episode of Table for Three with Randy Orton, Ric Flair, and Bruno Sammartino.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's only 19 minutes, which is a fucking travesty.
Jerry Lee Lewis is still alive.
Holy fuck, they signed him!
He's 81 years old.
Oh, my God. If he comes out and he starts fucking singing... Dude,
I would not be, if he's physically able to, I would not be shocked.
I would fucking pop for that. That would be fucking awesome. But I still don't understand. But let's get back to that.
Yeah.
So, dude, Bruno and Ric Flair at the same table with Randy Orton, who's no slouch in the championship department
right,
himself.
I agree, but don't these shows, like not all of them, but for the most part, they have this one guy in there that you're just like, why?
Lately. We talked about it earlier. Edge, Christian, and Kurt Angle.
Fine.
There was no why.
Yeah, there's
and
no
it was
why.
Amazing.
But then there was I think it was like Miz. Which was the one that Miz was on? Oh no, it was like Ryback, Dean Ambrose, and like
wait,
Daniel, was it Ziggler?
It was Ryback, Daniel Bryan, and
maybe Miz.
Was it Miz or was
Ambrose.
It Ziggler? Was it maybe it was Ambrose? Oh, fuck, I don't even remember. Well, they definitely had one with the Shield members, didn't they?
No.
They didn't?
No.
That would have been a no-fucking-brainer.
The New Day.
They
had all New Day
guys. I've seen all these episodes, and I can't remember.
I'm gonna go to all of them.
JBL interviewed Stan Hansen. They didn't have him on for one, did they?
Yes, they did.
Who was he?
Zabisco, I think, in Backlund?
Maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, Hansen, Zabisco. All right, I'll read them all to you. And we'll go back to your Bruno one.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll start from the very beginning. The first ever one was Roddy Piper, Paul Orndorff, and Mean Gene.
Yes, which was amazing.
And now we were actually talking about how I'm going to find out.
And they were fucking with the waiter the entire time, too.
They were. I want to see how long this episode actually is, because they're getting short, like we've been
real
saying, too.
Real fucking short. 19 minutes on this bad boy.
All right, so let me, after this. And then, all right, so the next one was The New Day, which was obviously a no-brainer with the three of them. But let's see here.
Oh, didn't they have one with the Freebirds?
No.
They didn't?
Well, how could they?
Oh, no, because Buddy Roberts actually did something before he died with them. He was interviewed for something.
All right, we're kind of wrong. The first one was 21 minutes.
That's all it was?
Yeah.
Wait. So tell me they're all like 21 minutes.
They're all 21 minutes.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Why did that one seem so much longer than what it was?
I don't know. But
well, shame on us.
All right, so there's that. The next one was The New Day. The next one was the Divas, which was Molly Holly, Ivory, and Medusa.
That was a good one.
That was a good one. Oh, all right. So I was right with the, all right. There were two. We were mixed. We were crossing our wires with the next two. The next one was Daniel Bryan, Ryback, and Dolph Ziggler.
Okay, it was Ziggler. Okay.
Yes. And then Ambrose was in the following one with Kevin Owens and Cesaro.
Yes. That was a good one. Dude, they were all good.
Which, actually, I don't remember watching that one. I'll have to go back and
I've seen them all. I'd have to watch them again, though, but I've watched all of them.
And this is where we get to the point where, like, you see a lineup and you're like, I gotta fucking watch that one.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is Sting, Vader, and DDP.
Saw that one, too, yes.
So did I. But this is where the show kind of rubs me the wrong way, and it's probably my fault. I know I've had this conversation with Mega Powers where, like, when we were working, we'd be like, hey, did you watch the new Table for Three? And he'll be like, how was it? And each time we'll say, it was good, nothing groundbreaking.
Yeah,
like, you didn't learn anything, which is kind of what I think all of us
Well, we'll get back to that in a minute, but keep going.
Then this one's a weird one, too, but not really. R-Truth, Miz, and Curtis Axel.
Yeah, that wasn't terrible. But, it wasn't terrible.
Like, the why in this one would be, why Curtis Axel?
Because he's Mr. Perfect's kid?
I don't know. Next one, which I actually haven't seen either. This is NXT one. This is Bo Dallas, Samoa Joe, and Neville. I might have to go back and watch that.
Because I think Bo Dallas was making fun of Neville for wearing his collar all the way up all the time. Or somebody was making fun of him for that. And like, aren't you afraid you're going to pop a button when you're lifting shit? He's like, how much shit am I going to lift with my collared shirt on?
And this is another one. This is Tamina. I don't remember watching this one either. Tamina, Charlotte, and Natty. Generational Divas.
Yes, I remember that. Because they were all the second gens.
That's pretty cool. And this one I did see. This was Regal, Sheamus, and Barrett.
Yes.
Good old, I guess they call him now Fake News Bennett. You know that?
No.
That's what he's going by now. He'll be at WrestlePro on Saturday.
I've got some fake news. Oh,
that's pretty funny, right?
It would have to grow on me, but I can see the potential there.
I got some fake news.
Fucking terrible. Fucking terrible.
My name is Fake News Barrett, and I'm afraid I've got some bad news. All right, there was a Horseman one with Flair, Tully, and Anderson.
It's a shame they didn't fucking wheel Luger in.
Imagine that. Or dig up Benoit.
they give Luger fried chicken so he can't fucking wheel his chair.
Hands are all greasy. Because of greasy? You couldn't just said they could have used extra oil on the wheel.
Whatever. It's funnier watching Luger try to eat fried chicken.
God. And this one's kind of a random hodgepodge of ones. It's Pat Patterson, Ricky Steamboat, and then the why, Hillbilly Jim.
Good. It was good.
It was good, but like, why? Like why you couldn't put like, is like Pedro Morales or Tito Santana still alive? Like
Pedro, who knows if they can find Pedro these days?
Like you have, I know they had an Intercontinental title one, but if you do like a generational Intercontinental title one, like do Pat Patterson, Ricky Steamboat, and then maybe like HBK.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Or, I don't know, someone even more, maybe like throw Daniel Bryan in another one, because that would be cool. Patterson, Steamboat, Bryan.
Dun, 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 dun.
This one's the Click, NWO, Hall, Nash, and Waltman.
Yeah.
Another Divas one, which I can't tell who's in. Oh, Molly Holly's in another one. Candice Michelle and Michelle McCool.
Oh, I don't know if I saw that one.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
So much shit on the network to watch.
Yeah, so much indeed.
So much shit.
So much shit.
Show me your shit.
That's why I smack my bitches. You know he hits women, right? You never saw that interview with him with Barbara Walters?
Wait, who?
Sean Connery.
Oh.
But who'd you think we were doing?
I don't know. Because I actually do a Sean Connery.
Kevin's doing impressions. He has no idea who he's doing. That's fucking great.
Oh, rough. Just the way your mother likes it.
Oh, Trebek.
Suck it, Trebek.
I'll take anal bum cover.
The penis might ya. Your mother's a whore.
I'll take swords. Le tits now. No one's ever said that. Yes, they have. Sweetie, it's cold. Let me see. Le tits now. Good Lord Almighty. All right, how many more of these are there?
A bunch.
Oh, just, no, come on.
No, but this is kind of fun, though.
Can we get back to Bruno?
Yeah, okay, let's go back to Bruno.
All right, so long story short, it's like you said a few minutes ago. You're looking for something that you didn't know before, something that you might, you know, that you want to feel like you're getting inside on, a story from behind the scenes. Bruno told a story about how his mother saved his life and they were in Italy. Told a story about how he discovered weights, that his Jewish friend in the old neighborhood brought him into the Jewish YMCA.
Wasn't this all on his DVD?
Yes, and that's the point. Yeah. Like, even Flair tells a story about how tough Harley Race was and that he showed up, he went across town from whatever show they were doing in St. Louis to the WWF show, and he put a gun to Hogan's head.
Yeah.
And Hogan's just like, brother, I'm just working. It's not my gig. You know, like, it's not my show. But we knew all that already. And that's the point. In 19 minutes, give me something good.
And, you know, and we said before, like, the Kurt Angle, Edge, and Christian one was fun. It was a fun...
Even though
I didn't need to know... Like, I didn't need anything. That was just a fun show.
Yeah, but it was fun because they were telling old stories, but they were putting a new twist on it.
Yes.
Like, the way they fucking brought out the kazoos at the end.
Yeah,
and
but that's been fun. When I saw... That's when I stopped watching.
Oh, come on, dude!
Because that was at the end. And I've seen that a million... They've done that a million fucking times!
Yeah, but watching old, bloated Kurt Angle doing it with them one last time with fucking Stack of Dimes neck Edge... And God, please put me in the Hall of Fame, Christian.
Oh, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. That's all they kept saying to him. The poor guy, they're like, don't worry, you'll get there. And he's just like, no, I won't.
Oh, Christian's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
A first ballot. Like, that's right. Like, that's a thing.
That's right. He's got the stats.
Yeah, Vince reaches out to fucking Bryant Gumbel, Paul Tagliabue, and some other fucking famous fucking people behind the scenes in sports to get their votes.
Fuck. All right, so anyway, do you have anything else on the Bruno one? Because the one before that was kind of fun, because Cornette and Bischoff and Hayes all shit on Vince Russo.
Yeah, no, that was great, but I mean, I heard the whole story already a bunch of million times.
Right.
Because Cornette's an open book, like, unless it's something that he hasn't touched upon yet.
But it was fun, that was like the first time I ever saw Cornette and Bischoff in the same room
together.
Yeah, well,
it has been.
Oh, that was
the first
legit
time. Well, not the first time they've ever actually met. Because
they tell a story about them being
when he flicked
the same
a booger
place
on his fucking car and shit.
Yeah.
Which he's told already a few times. But still, you know, anything new with Cornette, and Bischoff, dude, for all the shit he gets, I don't feel the way I do about him that I do about Vince Russo. I really don't.
I don't feel like I don't hate any of them.
No, because everybody always puts out.
I don't know any
out,
of them, but I don't hate any of
but
them.
But everybody puts out. Remember when Matt was trying to pick up on him at fucking Legends?
I was. Oh, yeah. Hey, the Wonder Years DVDs are coming out.
Oh, what a dick.
I think that's what he said.
Isn't it funny that we haven't had Eric Bischoff on, but we've had Jason Hervey on?
It's very true.
It's fucking really weird.
Bischoff
right?
said he'd do the show.
Anytime he wants. We gotta figure that out. Anyway, so
we gotta figure our own shit out first.
Well, this is true. It hasn't been an easy 2 months for the Wizards, in case you haven't been paying attention. People.
Oofa.
Well, it is what it is. Hey, we haven't broken the streak yet.
That's true.
Haven't broken the streak. Fucking getting up at 8 o'clock in the morning and recording a show before I go to work is not the greatest thing in the world, but actually it was kind of fun. Wiping the fucking snots out of my eyes before I was recording.
I gotta do a drunk Kevin solo podcast.
Didn't I do? You definitely do. And I told you you did. I told you, dude. Whenever you want to record something, just please don't hesitate. Will Smith said you build up all that anticipation until you actually get to that moment, and then it all disappears anyway.
Fuck.
Just press that fucking red button, and you're off to the races.
Do you know how bad of an idea it is for me to record something at 2 o'clock in the morning?
It'd be fucking awesome. Dude, like, you're...
You have to screen it first.
But no, but, like, you're drunk watching fucking, like, an old Nitro. Like, look at this cocksucker.
What is this? Galaxy? What the fuck is Galaxy? This,
I tuned in to see Kevin Nash. I got the fucking Jung Dragons on my... Get the fuck out of here.
That guy's a white guy. You can't fool me with that slanty eye mask. Because that's what they do. You remember, like, remember Kato?
Remember Mr. JL?
Yeah. What? That's a fuck.
Well, shit, they gave Andre.
That guy's from Minnesota.
They gave Andre and Billy Edie fucking Asian masks for the machines.
Yeah. God, I remember I was like, for the longest time, I thought Kato was a Japanese guy.
No.
It was Paul Diamond.
Yeah. You know why they brought him in like that? Because they didn't want to ruin the Asian gimmick.
Of course.
Which is fucking
because
just insane.
What the fuck can you do with Pat Tanaka by himself?
Put him with Paul Diamond.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I guess they did. Could you imagine that, though? Like Pat Tanaka calls up Paul Diamond. He's like, hey, guess what? I got you in. Really? Yeah. Put this on.
Where did I hear that they told this story?
The reason, who was it?
Shinja, the guy that managed Hakushi.
No, but it was his name is Kato when he was wrestling?
No. First Kato, guy was Saito.
Saito, yeah.
Saito.
But didn't Saito become their manager?
No, Saito became the manager of Hakushi.
Yeah, later on.
He
yeah.
was working. Where did I hear the story?
Because he was working and then he wound up getting hurt. He couldn't wrestle anymore.
He was getting older and he was working more in like the business relations between yes. WWE and Japan.
Yes.
And he didn't want to wrestle as much. Where the fuck did that story come up out of?
I heard it recently, too. You're not crazy. I heard that recently, too. Was that a Jim Cornette story?
No, it was the Pritchard podcast.
Yes. Which reminds me, that shit is fucking hysterical.
I haven't listened to the last two, but I got to catch up.
I've been on board with that. And you know what? I like the Conrad and Pritchard, Conrad Thompson is the host.
Yeah, the other guy.
Him and Bruce, I love when they go at each other. It's fucking great.
Because, you know, I never realized, because I started late, so I didn't go back to listen to all the earlier ones. I will. And it's so funny. Like, you see, like, I didn't realize that they were boys. Like, I thought it was just a guy that was hired to host a podcast.
Well, when I first started listening to it, yeah, as well. I thought that as well.
So, like, to hear, like, him just shit on Pritchard, I'm like, holy fuck.
Yeah, he doesn't give a fuck. When he doesn't like the answer that he's getting, he gives him shit all the time. And to a lesser extent, his show with Tony Schiavone is actually pretty good, too.
It is. They're both good.
Schiavone's just a fucking potty mouth, too, man.
When I was at work, I never, you know me, I didn't even listen to our own show, let alone other people's podcasts.
Well.
So, but when I, like, the last, like, I'll say, like, 5 months at work, I was on a regular schedule of Ryback, Pritchard, Schiavone. Ryback, Pritchard, Schiavone. And, the Pritchard and Schiavone show, Ryback show with Pat is fucking great, too. I actually have to catch up on that, too. But, Conrad's voice was like nails on a chalkboard to me.
He's a guy that he looks nothing like how he sounds.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely nothing. But you know what I find myself doing all the time now? Like when something fucked up happens, in my head I go, Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. I was like, is this a rib? My car broke down. He's like, a rib?
He's like, you're sitting there and Vince is telling you how the pay-per-view is going to go down. What does that sound like? Like, goddamn.
All right, so what is Jim Cornette's ordering from Burger King? What is
Give
he
me
get?
A cheeseburger,
Give me
double pickle.
Double pickle.
Goddamn it. Double cheese, double pickle, double ketchup. Extra napkin. What does Jerry Jarrett sound like making a sandwich? Well, you know.
No.
It's just so fucking stupid. It's hilarious.
Working hard.
Oh, and that. I don't know if you heard, but when they did it
live.
Yeah, with Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah. which I said it was probably the first time that he ever actually sang that song.
Probably.
Spent my day working hard.
There's good stuff out there in podcast land, people.
Of course, on the Shining Wizards Network as well.
Well, of course. Right. And I plugged everybody last week. Everybody. I gave everybody a what's up on what's been going on.
That's right.
I didn't realize it. I did realize I forgot about it. We need a new Turnbuckle Throwbacks commercial. So, Phil, if you're listening, send us one.
He did the liner.
Yes, he did. And I appreciate it. We love Phil.
We do.
We love all the guys.
Did he move?
If he didn't yet, it's very soon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Notice he's not wanting to kill himself as much lately because his commute's gotten better. He is actually a patron of the Second Avenue subway line. For those of you outside the New York City area who could give two shits about filling his commute, he's less stressed lately.
Well, the bigger story is the Second Ave subway line.
Yes, that was supposed to be built in the 1930s.
Yeah.
And that's just coming to fruition 70, 80 years later. So there you go, people. Progress in 2017.
I fucking love New York. Dude, I went to the city to see KP. He's doing these like roast battles.
I saw he's pretty damn good at them.
Yeah. he's undefeated. He's 2-0 at these roast battles, and he fucking crushed another good friend of mine. They didn't crush. That's not fair. But he beat a very funny comic who's been on TV. His name is Brett Druck. So shout out to KP. Google them, YouTube them, follow them on Twitter. KP Burke sucks. That's his handle. So
that's so ingenious,
dude. It's fuck, dude. It's at the Stand Comedy Club in the city down on the lower East Side.
East Side.
That's right.
I'm fucking doing the hand gestures like anybody can fucking see me.
That's right.
Like an idiot. So let's see. We covered.
Can we break the fourth wall as to why Matt's not here tonight?
Do we want to, or is that a kind of a private thing?
I guess.
See, I don't know because he didn't really give. He didn't. Matt's working tonight. Let's just put it that way.
Shoot him a text.
We'll put it that way for now. But in the meantime, you can keep looking. I'll just filibuster. Dave Megapowers actually made a return to Turnbuckle Throwbacks last week. So if you haven't checked out that episode, that should be on your to-do list. And I think that's about it with new stuff. I mean, everybody else has been rocking and rolling along. I don't know if there's anything that's been news and noteworthy. I mentioned earlier before that, the thought is that Bailey might be in the doghouse, that people have already given up on her and her gimmick. And it's one of those situations again where I don't think that WWE really knew what to do with her or didn't just let her be her. And they kept making her be an underdog, and yet she never won. And like, you can't always fight from the bottom and not fucking get a victory, you know? Maybe it's just me.
Oh, the Hardys were not on Raw because I guess Rebby is pregnant again.
And oh, that's right. Remember, she was with child.
She's about to pop.
Oh, King Maxwell will have a boy, brother. Wait, no. Didn't they reveal that they were having another boy in one of the fucking battles?
Oh, I don't know.
I seem to remember an explosion happening and fucking blue shit went up and he's like, another boy, yes.
That's crazy.
It's fucking nuts, dude. I really wish they would do shit like that. Maybe now that the titles are off of them and there's less pressure, maybe they finally get the rights to do this broken Matt gimmick, the broken Hardys again. Or some E variation
of it. From what I've read, there's been no talks between them of even doing it. Like, Jeff Hardy said on, I think it was Jericho's podcast, so you think that's worked?
I don't know. It's not that it's worked. It's just I don't understand why they wouldn't give that a go. I mean, that reinvention was the whole reason that they fucking got looked at by WWE to begin with.
Well, I don't think you need an excuse to look at the Hardy Boys.
But no. All right, fair enough. But it doesn't hurt that anything that's outside of WWE that's been talked about has to do with specifically what the Hardys are doing on TNA. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Otherwise, who gives a fuck about TNA from WWE? No, like, allegedly, quote-unquote, nobody's watching it. But, I mean, you have to tune in, and you have to see what all the fucking hullabaloo's about when you find out that two of your old stars, some of your biggest stars ever, are making waves once again for TNA. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I would figure something that brought them so much attention, you'd want to at least do something with it.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
I mean, look, they're in a great spot. No complaints. I just wish they would have given them a chance to work with it on a new stage.
But like, didn't we just see like the exact same thing? Like, was it a year, 2 years before?
I thought you were going to say 2 months ago with that shitty dollhouse
with
shit.
Like the, no, with like, because this just seems like this is like the Dudley's return 2.0. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the Dudley's were brought back.
Yeah, but it wasn't the broken Dudley's. Like, it wasn't.
But it wasn't Bully Ray. Like, it wasn't the hottest thing that they had going.
Yeah, it's true. But then again, they brought back D-Von, so what are you going to do, Bully Ray and Bully D-Von? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Holy shit. You know what they need? A great gimmick that they should have tried with the Dudleys was like, you know how they used to dress the same with the camouflage and all that? Have them do like the switch off, like the Twin Magic or the Killer Bees, but not wear a mask. Just switch off, and when the referee's like, hey, wait a minute, wasn't that you? Going, what the fuck are you talking about?
No, they could wear the masks, but like, like, but then they're still like so odd. Like,
well, of course.
Yeah. It'd be funny that they felt the need to put the masks on so that they could,
you know, Bubba
them.
Ray's white like the ceiling and D-Von's brown like the couch.
God.
I had to bring it back.
Fucking A.
Oh, shit. So anything in the news, anything that we need to talk about that happened on the the national scale. And oh, Japan, Chikara and Omega are going to fight again. Did I say that right?
Okada.
Somebody is. I thought they got a rematch coming up this week.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, here's another question. So who's the Intercontinental Champion of New Japan? Whoever the guy is, he beat the shit out of the belt. I saw a video of it that somebody had posted. Like, he just came out, he slammed it against the ring post, and then he left, and then he came back, and he smashed it on the floor. And then he was trying to use it to pay for groceries at some fucking market in Japan. Yeah, I don't know what the story was behind that. I figured maybe with the, you would have some mega foo and fucking drop some knowledge, but anytime a fucking championship belt's getting destroyed, it kind of piques my interest, you know?
Oh, like when the genius...
Yes,
Perfect did it.
Actually, I was reading up on that storyline, as well as the Macho Man customizing the Winged Eagle belt with Velcro and all that shit when he first won the title.
What?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. There's quite a bit of history that goes into that.
Wait, he put Velcro on the Winged Eagle belt?
Yes. So what happens is WrestleMania 4, going into it on, you know, the main event and all that, Hogan gets the first version of the Winged Eagle, which was specifically made for Hulk Hogan. It's nickel and gold plated, like it's two-tone. And the tag on the back, the property plate, doesn't say champion. It says Hulk Hogan, which you can see in some pictures after Savage won it. It still has like the Hulk Hogan nameplate on it. But of course, this belt was too big for Randy Savage to wear. So he had a couple extra snaps put in, but still didn't like the way it fit. So if you look at old pictures of the belt from after Randy won it, there's snaps way past where the tooling is. So you can kind of pick up where the belt was changed. Eventually, he said, fuck the snaps. I want a Velcro one. So they had another one made, and there's no snaps on it whatsoever. Still got the buckle on the end, but no snaps. And it's Velcro. And in certain things, like where the mega powers are together, he'll turn around, and it's all black. It doesn't have, like, the snap, you know, the snap things on it.
Wow, what shows can this be seen on?
There's one that's on YouTube. It's an MSG show where he wrestles Bad News Brown.
Okay.
And at the end of the match, when he puts it on, you could tell he's just Velcroing it on. And when he spins it around, you could see it's all black. There's also an interview. Remember how Mean Gene used to do the interviews on that side stage with the crowd behind
him? Yeah, hell yeah.
There's one with the Mega Powers, not when they're wearing the same colors, but Macho Man had like a striped shirt on and everything, and he was like doing the handshake shit and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a few of them like that. And long story short, that belt, the two-tone one that Savage had first gotten, that's the one that Mr. Perfect wound up smashing many years later on Saturday Night's main event.
Wow.
Which is not the hardcore title. Don't get that twisted, people.
That was I thought that's what it was when the hardcore title came back.
No, Touchy Feet, allegedly Mel Phillips, wound up with the belt after Saturday Night's main event.
Touchy Feet.
Yeah, didn't he get in trouble for molesting kids or touching some people or some shit?
What was the name?
Mel Phillips, the old ring announcer. You don't remember all those lawsuits and shit?
No, wasn't he the one filing them, though?
No, Mel Phillips was the one that was doing it.
Oh.
Yeah, which is why there's certain scenes at WrestleMania 3, I believe it is, where he's doing some shit at ringside and where they don't show him on camera. Yeah, you gotta do some research.
Wait, he was a ring announcer?
He was the black ring announcer, wasn't he?
Oh, I don't remember his name, but I remember the black ring announcer.
I don't want to say for sure, but I'm almost 100% positive. Get, like, some 99.9.
Get some slander thrown at us.
Well, I don't want to, I could be mistaken. Let me just see.
No, I'm looking it up.
Yeah, because he was in trouble. No, Melanie Phillips? I don't think so. That's not the Mel Phillips I had in mind.
The page Mel Phillips does not exist.
Yes, Mel Phillips. He's the guy that got beat up that time by Terry Funk. Do you remember that? It was on one of the Saturday shows. He was taking Terry Funk's shit, and he put Terry Funk's cowboy hat on, and Terry beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, Terry Funk did come up when I searched Mel Phillips.
Yeah, so anyway, Mel Phillips wound up scrounging up all the pieces of the belt and sold it to somebody who then sold it to a private collector.
Mm.
So that belt still exists. It's still out there in some shape or form. Somebody privately owns it. As opposed to the hardcore title, which was another title that they smashed up. Actually, no, you know what? The belt that they smashed up on the main event was a different one. The hardcore title was the two-tone one, but that was smashed up in office. Because if you look at the original hardcore belt, it's two-tone.
What do you mean two-tone?
It's got like gold, but then like the inside around like where the Eagle's wings are is like nickel plated. Like, it looks silver, but it's actually nickel, the color of the plates. So that's how that goes. I got that a little bit twisted.
Gotcha.
So let me see what else there was. So that was the belt talk. So I don't know what happened with this belt in New Japan. I mean, look, let's be honest. The Intercontinental belt, it was the one with the white strap. It looked kind of beat up. I think they needed a new belt for it anyway.
I had Matt's New Japan login information, but I don't think Matt even has it anymore, so I haven't watched New Japan in...
Well, that's fair enough.
I don't know how long. There's not enough time in a day to watch all that shit.
Dude, I haven't had time for anything. It's fucking sad, dude. Let me see. I don't know. Do we have any questions? I know we put out there that we had some... No, actually, we really don't have any questions.
That's what happens when you take a little hiatus.
Nobody loves us.
No, it's fun. You know what I was thinking, though? Because when we did the throwback to the Nitro after Piper's return to or debut in WCW.
Yes.
It was like a shitty-ass Nitro, which actually made the show even funnier. But then I got hooked back into watching all the Nitros, which I had literally just finished like 4 months ago.
You went down the rabbit hole, didn't you?
I went down, and I was, before that, I was on a primetime wrestling kick, watching every single primetime wrestling, which interrupted my Monday Night Raw SmackDown kick from 2000, 2001, 2002. So I have like three different fucking marathons of different wrestling shows going at the same time.
But I'm Gorilla Monsoon. I'm your host, Bobby Heenan.
Yeah, which is fantastic. Absolute gold.
Absolutely the best.
And you know what? I didn't realize that this is completely off in a tangent, that Mad Dog Vachon came back in that era as, like, the Butcher.
Yeah.
I never knew that. Like, right around when, like, Savage or Haku got crowned king, I think it was.
Yeah, because...
And Frenchie Martin was his manager.
Wait, he was wrestling?
Yeah.
Wait, when did he lose his leg?
Telling you, he was...
Oh, you're talking about Butcher. Oh, no, because I'm thinking of Mad Dog. No, wait. There's two different guys, aren't there?
Hold on. Who is... Hold on.
Because there's Butcher Vachon and there's Mad Dog Vachon.
Mad Dog Vachon played somebody...
Mad Dog was Maurice. That's the guy that lost his leg, isn't it?
Yeah, but this was like in 89, so...
You sure it was Butcher Vachon and not Butcher Vushad, the jobber?
Oh, that may have been him.
See?
Hold on. No, I'm thinking...
I know I'm not crazy. There was a Butcher Vushad or some shit like that. I think it was a knock on him.
Okay, yeah, it wasn't Mad Dog. Or was it?
I was going to say, dude, because they were kind of old at that point.
Maurice Vachon. We're doing a lot of Wikipedia-ing here today. We did not prepare for this show.
No, it's fine, because I like going down these long hallways sometimes. Vintage? No.
It may have been the Butcher guy, because I remember...
Yeah, because, dude, they were old as dirt at that point, and what's his name was missing a leg. Although I do remember, who was it? But yeah, did the Butcher get married on Tuesday Night Titans? Which one of them got married?
Didn't the Hillbilly get married on?
No, Uncle Elmer got married on Saturday Night's Main Event.
Hold on.
Yeah, that was on the main. That was on Saturday Night's Main Event where Uncle Elmer got married. Butcher Vachon. No, it was Mad Dog. It was Maurice that got married. And all the heels were at the wedding. Lou Albano, Dr. D, yes. Jesse Ventura, the Samoans, they were all there. And then they all got, dude, they were drunk. They were throwing Sky Lolo all over the place. you never saw this?
No.
Dude, yeah, it's got to be on the network. It's got to be. Captain Lou, he has his shirt open and he's sticking his belly out. He's burping into the microphone, kind of like what we do.
All right, you know what? I was actually way off.
Okay, who was it? Clear it up.
It was... Hold on, let me just double check and make sure.
Who was it?
It was, hold on.
I'm sitting with bated breath, Kevin.
It's going to be...
Kevin, don't keep me waiting.
It's going to be underwhelming if it's right.
Oh, no.
One of the DeLukes. J-O-S.
Joe LeDuc?
Joe LeDuc, yeah.
Okay.
Pretty sure, let's see, WWF 88... LeDuc made his first appearance for the World Wrestling Federation on March 19th, 1988. Superstars taping.
Yeah, you did shit good bad with this one.
I was way off, huh? Let me just Let me Google image. Let me Google image it real quick. Okay. I was way off here, huh? What was that? Now
Tommy, you're just, yeah.
Now you're just going down your fucking from. Oh yeah, it was Joe DeLuke. Yeah.
Was you idiots?
From you did not want to even use the soundboard tonight.
Correct. Ding.
Fuck.
You know what? We're going to take a commercial break real quick. When we come back, Kevin's got a topic that Matt threw at us earlier. I think we can talk about that for a few minutes before we wrap this thing up and pull it into the shed.
Which ties into current impact.
Of course. Drive it off a cliff or whatever.
That's right.
Oh, Jesus. Give me a second. I got to find the commercial block. Oh, my God. It's been too long. All right. We'll be right back.
Here's a chance to get some great merchandise and support the people that support us, the Shining Wizards. If you like wrestling videos, visit ShiningWizards.com and click the IVP Videos banner. It's not going to cost you anything extra to buy through us, but a small percentage of your purchase will support the show. Zubaz. If you're not wearing Zubaz, you're just wearing pants. Visit them for all the great Zubaz collection at Zubaz.com. The High Spots Wrestling Network provides over 2,000 hours every month of high-quality entertainment. Visit HighSpotsWrestlingNetwork.com, type in the code WIZARDS, and you'll receive your first month free of charge. If Lucha Crates are your thing, visit LuchaLoot.com and enter the code WIZARDS for 10% off any purchase of a Lucha Crate. If you like Lucha merchandise, visit LuchaShop.com, put in WIZARDS at checkout, and again, you'll save 10%. Bottom Line Merch, cutting-edge merchandise from today's biggest and brightest wrestlers. Visit BottomLineMerch.com and begin shopping today. Support those who support us, and we all can support each other. Thanks for shopping with the Shining Wizards.
Do you like obscure references?
Vince just did the old Joel Gertner hand dance, which is awesome.
Pointless banter.
Is that chicken I smell? I'm gonna roll this rock out of the way.
And political gum fuckery.
I haven't played this band since I was in my 20s.
Then join us every weekend on the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, your source for anti-PC entertainment news and commentary.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Dave Destruction Sturcio, and I'm here to talk to you about Destruction 101. It's a brand new podcast hosted by yours truly, Dave Destruction, exclusively every Wednesday night on the Shining Wizards Network and iTunes. Come join me as I explore the world of professional wrestling, professional sports, a little bit of MMA, and just a little bit of advice every week to get you through yours. I'll see you every Wednesday night, exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network.
Are you a pro wrestling fan that also listens to heavy metal? Neckbreaker was designed just for you. Wrestling headlines, metal panels, drinking games, and interviews with guests including Chris Jericho, Nile, Frankie Kazarian, Symphony X, Eric Bischoff, and tons more. Have some drinks with us and listen to Neckbreaker Podcast, available for free on iTunes, Google Play, the Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher, or grab our full archive over at neckbreaker.net.
All right, well, this is gonna be shitty. We totally forgot about live reads because this is usually Matt's department, but there are a couple shows going on this weekend that off the top of my head I do know a little bit about. Of course, you have WrestlePro Online.com this Saturday in Keyport, New Jersey. It's going to be a fantastic show with the appearances by Stu Bennett, a.k.a. Wade Barrett, Fake News Stu Barrett. That's this Saturday at St. Joseph's RC Church, 376 Maple Place, Keyport, New Jersey. WrestlePro Online.com. Lots of great talent, including KM from Impact Wrestling. The Shockmaster will be there. The FBI, La Resistance, Hardcore Holly, if I'm not mistaken, he might be there. Anthony Bowens, Brian Cage, Pat Buck, Beefcake versus fucking Mordecai, and all that stuff. So, and also we have Wildcat makes their debut Wildcat Sports at 2300 Arena, the arena of ECW fame. That is June 10th. Unfortunately, Scott Hall will not be there, but lots of great stuff. The card has not changed, so
hey, yo.
WildcatWrestling.com. That's Wildcat with a K.
I'm not going to be there, yo.
So this Sunday, June 11th, at the 160 Arena, 160 48th Street in Brooklyn, New York, Tier Brooklyn. 1 Wrestling remastered, Brooklyn. That's weird. Oh, bro, because of Matt Riddle. I get it. So that's going down. Sunday, Darius Carter versus, I believe, Homicide?
I think so.
Jack Swagger will be there. Pentagon. Low Key. Matt Riddle. All the great Tier 1 talent. Dirty Daddy. Chris Dickinson.
I think JT Dunn there, too.
JT Dunn, I think, is there in a triple threat match, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Taverna. A lot of these guys. ACH.
Oh, and CPA's on the show, I think, too.
Awesome. My pal CPA. So, yes, to go to tier1wrestling.org.
Yes.
Tier1wrestling.org. All right, that's all the other ones, you know, Smash Wrestling, Smash FN Wrestling, House of Glory Wrestling, Beyond Wrestling, On Point Wrestling, Canuck Pro, fucking all these companies. Again, I've totally forgot about live reads, which I should have done.
Shitty Bang Suck My Balls Wrestling.
Should have done that. I'm sorry, Matt. I didn't do it justice. I didn't really do it at all. So
that's good enough. Hey,
lots of shows. I didn't realize how many shows are running this weekend.
Yeah, a ton. And Legends is in town as well on Saturday.
Oh, fuck.
Mr. Jim Cornette's going to be in town. God damn. Give me a double cheeseburger with extra pickles.
Stealing everyone's shit. You know who might be on his show?
Who?
She teased it, but I'm not sure if it hasn't been confirmed. I think Sunny is going on Jim Cornette's show.
Oh, she's an upfront cunt. You never heard that story?
No, but they're friends, though, aren't they?
Oh, no, but he calls Sunny an upfront cunt because she knows she's a cunt and she puts it right out there, whereas Sable was a behind-your-back cunt. Yeah, so no love lost there between.
And again, I don't know that to be true, but she just said that she was going on a Dear Friends podcast. So.
Oh, she's
going
to be on our show next week. Yeah. And nobody's going to be here to talk to her.
She did. She did say that she only goes on people's podcasts that have been in the business or the people that she trusts and respects. So we do fall.
Well, what's not to trust and respect about the Shining Wizards, Kevin?
That's right. We do fall right into that category.
Of course we do.
Oh man!
You know, the first time, like you've listened to Taz's show, right?
Yeah, when he mentioned us.
Well, all right, but he likes to throw out the word schnabitz, and I never really heard it, like, in context. He kind of uses it as a throwaway, like this and that. Like, he'll say, like, kind of like a yada, yada, yada. Like, he'll talk about, like, yeah, the gimmick schnabitz, you know, whatever. But the first time I actually really heard it in context was when Jim Cornette was talking about Sable and how Vince and Vince would drool over her. He's like, and here she comes. She got the handprints covering, you know, with the schnabitzes all hanging out and everything.
Are you doing Jim Cornette or Taz?
Well, kind of a little bit of both. It's Jim Cornette, but it's got the Taz inflections. You hear me, brother?
Schnabitz.
The schnabitz. The gimmick schnabitz. That's a terrible Taz.
Hold on. I'll get a good Taz going.
No, it's a good Taz.
I'll get a good Taz going. Hey, you know, Gino.
Bro.
Shout out to Gino Gotts.
Gino Gotts. What a fucking mook he is.
Hey, what are you talking about over here? That was just as bad as my Taz.
Oh, my. No, but that was a good Gino. We should just fucking do a spoof episode of fucking Dave Destruction one day.
And do kick the destruction.
Yeah, you can do. Except you'll be kicked in the nuts.
Oh, hey, where are the bags? Oh, get me the statements. Oh, hey,
you get kicked in the fun bags. Oh, this fucking Stu Gotts over here.
Dude, Gino Gotts is legit. Like,
does he have a brother, Stu?
Stu Gotts. There's a Stu Gotts though.
Yeah,
he's an ESPN guy. But dude, he like the stuff that he puts on. Like, Gino is like literally like one of the funniest people I've ever met.
Well, yeah.
Just like he's so Facebook funny, it's ridiculous. The shit that he comments on people's stuff, it's like, it's just ridiculous. So shout out to our boy Gino Gotts, who we will have in studio one day.
He's also got a spot on Dave Destruction's, Dave Sturgio's Destruction 101.
I almost wore his t-shirt today.
Gino Gotts?
No,
Dave's?
Dave's, yeah.
What, she wants the D?
Mm-hmm. I will wear that shirt out one day. I almost wore it to work a couple times too, but then
by mistake.
No, well, with the green Zubaz, I was gonna wear the because the She Wants a D is in green.
Oh, and you were gonna wear.
So I was gonna wear it to work, and I'm
have you worn the Zubaz to work?
Oh yeah, countless times.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I wish I could wear Zubaz to
work.
Dude,
I could have easily probably gotten away with the She Wants the D shirt, but I just thought better of that.
Fair enough.
Dude, I wore all three pairs: the pink and black, the blue, the Jets, all of them.
God damn.
I was the apple of the office.
You must have been fucking popping boners all day.
Why would I be popping boners?
Because those
work?
Are fucking boner pants.
They're not. How are they boner pants?
Because they show off your fucking meaty.
Yeah, they show it
each.
Off. It's not a. I mean, if you get an accidental, then you're fucked.
God damn. Woo!
Fucking. There's another story that gem of a storyline on Raw.
Oh, I thought you were gonna tell me you had a fucking boner story about work.
No.
Why, wait, there's a boner story on
No,
Raw?
Just the stupid Titus Brand, Kalisto, Apollo Crews storyline.
Fucking retards.
God, just put Kalisto in the cruiserweight division already.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it is weird how they're mixing around these guys in the division now. Like, you have, like, Sasha working with...
Because they don't know what they're fucking doing.
Now they have Titus O'Neil working with... Tozawa now, apparently. Akira Tozawa.
Fucking terrible.
So it's fucking...
That's what the cruiserweights need. A big black guy still, like, fucking hovering over them to make them look even smaller.
Yeah.
All right. Good job, WWE. So we have a topic.
Which one? All right, yeah, we'll start with the one that good old Shining Wizards Matt gave us. I'm not sure if it was this past Thursday or the Thursday before that, but Scott Steiner made his return to Impact Wrestling.
He's fat!
That's right.
That's all I got for Scott Steiner.
He's fat!
Making fun of fucking Samoa Joe.
Did you see this? Did you see his return?
No. Bad?
Scott, his Steiner recliner was fucking brutal.
Like really cinched it in, or?
No, like, he might as well not, he might as well been ahead, like, it was bad. Like, he might as well have been stabilizing someone after they got hit by a car. Like, that's what it was. Like, he was just like this. Like, don't move.
So did he like, get him, like, camel clutch mode, or was he just kind of standing over him in a chin lock?
Standing over him in a chin lock.
Wow.
And the guy was, like, on his knees.
So Steiner can't move.
It looked bad.
So why would they bring in a guy like this?
See, that's... And Impact has been good.
See, and I feel terrible because I was on a nice streak watching it, and then I sort of fell out of it.
I don't know if it was this past week.
I don't like... Are they still doing the Jeremy Borash, Josh Matthews?
Yeah, and that's what he's a part of.
Oh!
He's Borash's partner at Slammiversary.
Well, let's just kick up the shit up a few notches.
So, but Steiner did not look... Like, I get it. It's shock value. It's Scott Steiner.
He's got to be close to 60, right? He's got to be.
It looked... And I'm all for... Bringing back names, I'm all for that. That's fine with me.
Dude, he's got to be older than dirt by now.
I'm telling you.
Punch him up on Wiki. I want to see how old he is.
All right.
He's got to be close to 60.
This episode of The Shining Wizards has been brought to you by Wikipedia. Because we don't know shit about wrestling.
Make sure you donate that $5 every 2 years that they ask you for to help keep us in business.
We got to update our page.
What do you mean?
Are we on Wikipedia?
We were until we got thrown off about 6 hours after it was posted.
Why? What happened?
Well, we just didn't have enough. I mean, our big claim to fame at that point was Buff Bagwell saying he was 2 weeks away from going back to Impact Wrestling. Oh. We all know how that shitstorm turned out.
Why is fucking Wikipedia being fucking gay?
Because really?
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Okay, fuck it.
Oh wait, that's the wrong one.
What are you, a fan?
Oh wait. I don't want to say
that. Dude, do you know that Scott Steiner's official website is bootydaddy.com?
I did not know that. I shall be visiting that as soon as we finish the show.
He was born in 19... He's 54 years old.
Oh, he's old as shit, man.
And I'm going to see if I can YouTube... I see, now this is where I wish I was.
Well, let me ask you this. How did he look?
Awful. He looked...
Body-wise.
He had a shirt and a leather jacket on and his chain thing, so you couldn't get any assemblage of how his physique was, but he looked like a shell of himself, which, again, is no surprise. You're 54, and you're probably off the gas.
But why would they do that?
That's a question I can't ask.
This had to have been a favor for somebody.
That's what I'm... Maybe a paid... That's what I'm thinking.
You think Jeff Jarrett's like, hey, Scott, what are you doing? We could use you?
Like, Like, his beard doesn't look like the bleach blonde anymore. It looks like fucking old man, fucking widow's fucking beard.
He will forever be one of my favorites, though.
Me too.
Just for the fact, forget about everything he's done in his career, that promo that he cut with that fat guy where they were talking about getting STDs.
God.
From those ladies or giving them to the ladies?
We'll go out. We'll get all the
You know what? We'll give them those STDs. You got an STD?
Oh, you know what? I pulled up the thing from Impact. Hold on. Let me see if I can. And it's fucking bad, too, because Joseph Park is a part of this storyline, too. Another character that I absolutely loathe.
They only did that because they broke up Decay.
Yeah.
Because Crazy Steve might be your like Insane Paulie on 205 Live in the next couple of weeks. Wait, were you just going to talk into the empty mic stand?
No. I want to try to cue up the Steiner thing, but he doesn't really talk, so it won't be funny.
Oh, but you're not plugged into the board anyway. Wait, is that the laptop?
Yeah.
Holy cow, that's loud.
He looks awful. It's worse than I remember.
That commentary sounds awful.
They do sell it like it's a fucking the biggest deal they've ever seen.
Well, because it's the freak of nature.
Yeah, but like Google that, YouTube this one after the show too. It's bad.
Hey, speaking of bad, is Vader really dying or did that all go away?
All right. What the fuck's going on with the Vader thing?
Yeah, I don't either. He was supposed to die last year.
But then he also tweeted about his retirement, and he's still booked on shows, which I'm not going to even mention. But then he announced that he's not retiring, and they got it wrong, and hopefully many more years.
Oh, you mean
years.
That show?
I'm not even going to mention it.
Oh, I'm not going to mention it either, but I a lot of people talking a lot of shit already about that show.
Of course. Dude, All right, I'm not going to talk about it.
Look, I'm not even going to say anything about that in particular, but there's a whole lot of people that talk a whole lot of shit, and sometimes I'm like, why do I like wrestling? And then other times I'm like, look at these assholes, and I'm just laughing.
It's because some of it's – if shit-talking is done right and it's valid and credible and it's fucking funny, I love it.
It's not even that I love it. Just sometimes I just laugh at the fact that it's happening. You know, and then other days I'm like, really? I'm like, this is the shit that I try to watch every week. I'm like, really?
But some people deserve it.
I'm not arguing that. Absolutely. All right, so Big Bad Booty Daddy. Let's get back to the question at hand.
All right, so the eras of Scott Steiner is basically what we're going to be talking about for the next, I don't know, couple minutes. And basically, like, what was your... Like, where do you think Scott Steiner was the most successful in terms of his runs, whether it be... I don't know if you wanted to include tag team in this.
You know what? I really don't know a lot of, like, his earlier singles runs.
Because he...
He wasn't... He was
Rick,
always...
Rick started first, and then Scott came in.
Scott came in and took him away from the Varsity Club, yeah. And then they were just, like, you know, they did the whole Michigan thing, you know, with the headgear and the jackets and all that shit.
Yeah, of course. So...
And then he really didn't get singles until, like, much later on, right?
A lot later on, till he joined the NWO.
So he wasn't even a singles wrestler at all before? Like, did he ever challenge Ric Flair? Like,
Yes, he did. He was a singles guy, but I think he was still, he was like when Ricky Morton got a title shot.
Well, that's what I mean. And then Bobby Eaton was also getting title shots as well, and so was Road Warrior Hawk.
Yeah.
But there was a period of time where Ric Flair, as the story and legend goes, wanted to put the title on Scott Steiner. He wanted to lose to Scott Steiner, put the belt on him, because he felt that strongly about it.
And I think this was also mentioned on the Britchard podcast, or the Schiavone podcast, or somebody's podcast. That they wanted to make... Oh, no, it was Pritchard, because this was in WWF. They wanted to make Scott a single in WWF and push him to be a top guy.
Oh, that's right. That's right, when they came in.
So, but they didn't want to do it.
See, yeah, Scott has always been very loyal to Rick. Even back, allegedly, when Flair wanted him to take the world title, he's like, no, where's that going to put my brother? I want to be with my brother.
So that's... You got to respect that. And now I'm watching his debut. He did get a massive pop at that Royal Rumble pay-per-view.
And they were a huge tag team when they were challenging the Outsiders all the time.
Yep.
And they kept getting fucked over. Dude, I forget who was covering... Oh, so they were covering DDP's career on Shivani's podcast.
Yes, and I listened to that.
I mean, look, I don't want to keep talking about their shows, but there was one point that Tony made which resonates and was one of probably the big reason why WCW went to shit. Every fucking match on every fucking card that had anything to do with the NWO was a fucking running schmoz disqualification.
Yeah.
And every time he started talking about a match, he goes, hey, what do you think the finish to this one was? It was a fucking NWO running disqualification.
And I'm just getting to those nitros where Savage just joined.
Dude,
at Super Brawl.
It's awful.
I enjoy it.
No, but like every fucking match is just disqualification, running. Remember when they fucking had the Giant and Hogan wrestle through the entire showing of
the Robin Hood?
Yes.
Yeah.
Dude, I was a sucker. I fucking stood and I didn't watch Robin Hood, but I had it on in the background while I was doing other things. And then every once in a while, yeah, they'd pop up. And I'm like, they got to pay this off. Like Andre, Jesus. The Giants got to win. And then fucking stupidity shit anyway.
Then they hyped that all up, said, we're going to stay on. And then they end it in run-ins.
You know what? I like the Steiner's run. It was probably the early 90s before they went to WWE when they actually were having that great series of matches with Doc and Gordy.
Yeah.
That was some good shit.
I got to go back and watch those.
That's some of my favorite tag team stuff at that point in time because it was fucked up too, because that was when the NWA and WCW had initially split and then they brought NWA back into the fold. So they kept doing different things where Doc and Gordy were the WCW tag champs, but then they were winning the NWA tournament.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it was a crazy time. Like, Doc and Gordy was, like, probably the hottest team at that point, but the Steiners were just fucking giving it to him. And even shortly after that, they were having great matches with the Head Shrinkers. That was one of the highlights of WrestleMania 9, an otherwise shitty show.
They had a weird run in WWE, but I guess the whole time there was weird.
They did. LOD did at that point.
Yeah.
Nasty Boys had a weird run at that point.
All those teams that we just mentioned shortly, they weren't there for all that long.
The Nasties honestly may have had the best run out of all three of those teams.
And out of all those teams, that was the team that, like, you would expect not to.
Yeah, of course.
But at the end of the day, when you look back,
they were
characters, and they were a way to transition from the Hart Foundation to the Legion of Doom.
And they were heels.
And they were heels, and they were good heels.
You had the LOD as baby faces with Rocco the Puppet.
And they were...
And you had the Steiners, who you really didn't put in with anybody. But I think the problem with the Steiners was they were still so tied to Japan that Vince probably didn't see them running with anything for too long.
Okay.
Just because, same thing with LOD, because LOD was getting booked in Japan at that point. And I think this is around the time where Animal wound up getting hurt. And then Hawk started teaming with Kensuke Sasaki.
Yes, the Power Warrior. Right?
Yes, so there was a whole kind of shit going on there, but... Yeah, dude, who would have thought out of those three teams, the Nasty Boys would have gotten the fucking best run in WWE? At least at that point.
At that point, yeah. And LOD, let's see, like, they won, and then who did they end up losing them to?
Natural Disasters, maybe?
Was it them? Was it Natural Disasters?
Or was it Money, Inc.?
That's the million-dollar question. No pun intended.
Yeah, sure.
I swear to God. I'm clever when I don't mean to be.
I mean, when I try to be, it's
awful.
LOD, when they came back, first they stuck them with Sonny. They did nothing. They changed their outfits. They did nothing. Then they stuck him with draws. They fucking made Drunken Hawk fall off the Titantron.
Mm-hmm.
Then Hawk dies. They bring back fucking Animal and Heidenreich, for Christ's sake.
That's right.
It's like, come on, man.
Friend?
Honestly, the argument can be made, and I think we have the facts to back it up. The fucking Nasty Boys were the best of those three teams being brought in from WCW.
And they only had that run from fucking 90 to... It
wasn't a long run at all. And then they went out to have great matches with fucking Max Payne and Kevin Sullivan and Mick Foley.
Yeah,
Cactus Jack.
God, and we've talked about the division at that time before.
Fucking believable.
Dude, do you remember when the Road Warriors returned to WCW and I think around... I'm not sure if Nitro was... This was before Nitro, but like Rick Rude... I think it was something with Rick Rude. They wore like the fucking blue. They had like the blue shoulder pads. This may have been their return to WCW later on, but there was something with like Rick Rude and like someone needed a partner or something like that, or they were looking for somebody, and like Hawk comes out, and then someone comes out, and then Animal, like, no one's expecting Animal, because I think it's just going to be Hawk and, like, Dustin Rhodes or something like that. I don't know. I'm probably just talking because I honestly don't remember it. But it was something weird. But then they came back to WCW in between WWE runs, too, where they were getting into it with the Steiners and Harlem Heat and those guys. And that's when they actually wore blue spikes and blue fucking tights.
That's a blur to me, man. I'll have to check that out.
You have
out
to go back to the network and watch that.
Remember when they brought back Animal and Sid broke his leg?
God, yeah. God, you know how fucking stupid I was?
How stuck and stupid were you?
I didn't say stuck and did I? Dude, I'm not even remotely buzzed. This is awful. This is the problem.
Don't worry. Phil's listening. He'll text me and let me know that you said stuck in. Go ahead. Keep going.
If Phil's going to text you, ask if he remembers what I'm talking about.
He'll help me up. If he's listening still, he'll hit me up.
With the I think it was Rick Rude, that storyline. But anyway.
It's possible.
What was I going to say?
Your favorite Scott Steiner era.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's I don't know. Let's just get back to
the topic at hand.
just trying to help you out.
I mean, it's got to be the WCW, like,
the
Big Papa Pump.
Booty Daddy.
Yeah, it's got to be.
That was when he started winning his world championships. So, did he ever beat Triple H when he came over or no?
Not,
I don't think he did.
I don't know if he may have gotten like a
Goldberg did.
Yes.
But I don't think Steiner did.
Well, didn't Goldberg, did he beat Triple H or was his a triple threat match with Kane?
Oh God, is that what they did? I don't remember.
He may have had one, but that may not have been when the title changed.
Oh God.
He may have pinned Triple H.
You're putting all these awful thoughts in my head. Just making me not like Triple H at that period of time less and less. Ugh.
But going back, do you know that when Steiner first turned, he had like a brief nickname for like 2 seconds. It was like white, like thunder or like white lightning or something like
that. Are you serious?
I'm like, again, 99% sure.
That just sounds like the Drizzles, dude.
It was, I don't think they ever really talked about it, but he had some stupid nickname before Big Papa Pump and before Big Bad Booty Daddy.
Oh, God.
They don't have the Thunders on the network, so you can't really go back and watch those.
Who owns the rights to those? I guess nobody wants them. Even Vince knows not to show those.
Oh, they got to put those on at
some
point.
And Vince shows some really terrible old shit on there, too.
Dude, I'm waiting for all those shows. I'm waiting for Thunder. I'm waiting for Heat. I'm waiting for Velocity.
You know, Thunder?
Shotgun Saturday Night, I'm waiting
Shotgun
for.
Shotgun Saturday Night, I would love to see the old original.
I want the jobber shows, man.
What shit? What the hell was that? Dude, Thunder was not around all that long, was it? I think it only ran like a year and a half.
I think it started in like 97, 98.
I think it was 98, and I don't think it lasted until 2000. I think it ended like in February 2000, maybe? Like a year before they closed? I have a feeling it didn't have a long run at all. Dude, let's be honest. They were booking a 3-hour Nitro, and then they expected to do 2 more hours live on Thursday.
At the time, they had the talent, but the talent that wouldn't appear on the show. But.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, they had a big roster. I don't know if they necessarily had the talent to fill all that shit. I mean, how many times could you fucking see Roadblock against Mike Enos? You know what I'm saying?
What's that?
I said, how many times could you see Roadblock and Mike Enos go at it?
Dude, Mike Enos has been on my TV more times than like the New York Jets, the Devils, and the Yankees combined.
Mike Enos was there the night that Scott Hall appeared.
Of course.
Although he was the gambler, or the spoil.
He wasn't the gambler. He was the mauler.
The mauler. There you go. Yeah.
God, yes. He was mean Mike Enos. He was the mauler, and he was definitely something else, too.
He was part of the Destruction Crew.
It was Rough and Ready with him and Dick Slater.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Mean Mike Enos and Dirty Dick Slater.
Oh, my God.
And he was just on the main event of the show that I just watched, which was The Outsiders versus Bunkhouse Buck and Mike Enos.
Do you remember that there were 2 weeks back-to-back on Nitro where Ace Darling and Devin Storm wrestled the Outsiders?
The Outsiders, yeah. I'm right there. I'm watching them all.
And they came out to the old generic Chris Jericho, Greg Valentine / anybody else that needed this music?
Well, we literally just had this conversation.
It was that... Dun, 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 well, dun,
funny,
dun.
funny story. That was the Hollywood Blondes music.
Yeah, Steve Austin and Pillman.
Yes, and then
before they started using Blondes Have More Fun.
And
right?
We were we just recently had this conversation. Like Eddie and I were talking about it with somebody else either on Facebook or in person. And then like Greg Valentine used it, Marty Jannetty used it.
Yeah,
And then at the last, not the last WrestlePro show, the Starland WrestlePro show, Kevin Keenan, there was a battle royal, and Ref Keenan, Kevin Keenan was in the battle royal,
and he came out,
and Eddie chose that music for him.
See,
and Keenan comes up to me, he's like, breaking down the fourth wall here. He's like, hey, I want to come out to this. I forget what music he said,
and Eddie just said, okay.
No, and we were like, well, Eddie, I think, has this for you. And I think Eddie has the Hollywood Blondes music for you. He's like, all right, forget what I said. That's it. That's what I want to come
but
out
did
to.
Did he realize that that was the Hollywood
yes,
Blondes music?
He knew.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's almost like anybody there gets like the Orient Express treatment in WWE. Or if you had any sort of Asian in you, you
yes.
get that. Da 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 ding ding dong dong ding.
The gong. God.
Yes.
It's like...
Or like how everybody who was from Japan was just from Japan.
That's right.
Not like Nagasaki or Tokyo.
God.
Unless you were Little Tokyo because the Tokyo was in your name. You were from Tokyo, Japan. Because how could Little Tokyo be from anywhere else?
I don't know. What
oh,
is this?
Shit.
Manuel Kracheval. What did he say?
Oh, we got a question.
I don't know. He said, I haven't read this yet, so I'm reading it for the first time on air.
For the first time.
Do you guys think Asuka is the reverse Roman Reigns since they're trying to portray her as a heel for months now? Meaning they're trying to make her a heel, but...
Like people still love her,
still
people love,
love
her.
Her
more.
But is she really being a full fledged heel at this point?
It's reversed because what should have happened was like Roman Reigns should have gotten the Rock treatment, which is what probably should have happened to Cena. People shit on him. He turns and embraces it, and then eventually people start to like him. Whereas Asuka is kind of doing it backward. People started liking her, even though she's turning heel. They still like her anyway. I would compare Asuka to Steve Austin.
Right. But like what other baby faces are there that she could that people care so much about that if Asuka did something to them, they'd be all upset. Like Ember Moon, are people that into Ember Moon?
I would say Bayley, but I don't even think people care about Bayley anymore.
Right.
I mean,
she's
NXT
not there.
NXT cared about Bayley, but
so yeah, like for if Asuka like did heel shit to Bayley, then yeah, they'd boo her. But there's no one there to really do heel shit on that people are invested in that care.
No, definitely not.
Like, who did she just fight at the last takeover?
Do you like the new belts, by the way?
I do.
Yeah, I think they're a step up from where they were.
I do.
I could do without the big X's, though.
I could do without them
the
as
big
well.
X's just scream X Division to me, and I kind of don't like that. I really don't.
I mean, I think other than the tag belts, aren't the women's belt and the men's belt the same?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is smart, because yeah. That's what they do for Raw and SmackDown.
But you know what? They could have... done whatever they wanted to because I hated the old world title belt.
The NXT. Oh, you
the
mean,
NXT. I hated that
NXT.
Belt. I hated that belt.
Yeah, it was kind of goofy.
It was. I get what they were trying to do, but it was. It didn't look like a championship belt.
It was too simplistic.
Yeah.
I mean, at least the like. I don't know if you agree, but the WWE logo belts. For all, I mean, they look like belts. Like,
if
they look like a championship,
if this is
belt.
Where we're, if this is the generation that we're in now with WWE, where we're not, where traditional championship belts are not non-existent, I guess. Other than, I mean, IC is still there, but that's whatever.
I mean, it makes sense on a few levels. One, it's kind of like you're a wrestling champion or you're a sports entertainment champion, so your championship should look the same no matter whether you're man, woman, or whatever class you're in.
Right.
And plus, I also think it helps with like the whole like, hey, we're all about equality and
right.
not bullying and shit.
So I have.
So if you're a woman, you should have the same belt that the man has, and you know.
So I have no problem with the top titles for men and women looking the same. No problem with that. And I guess the Intercontinental, everyone wants like to do it with the IC and US to make them look the same, but those are two totally different like titles. They shouldn't look the same. They technically represent two different things.
What I would do, and I think I wouldn't have a problem with those belts looking a little more similar, but that US title's got to go. I've hated that design since it came out, and that's one design that never grew on me.
It's not going anywhere.
I actually liked the fucking Word Life Spinner that Cena brought out more than the belt they have now.
Oof, that's a reach.
It's not a reach, though, dude. Dude, I like the spinner belt. You remember I had the damn thing until I got rid of it because everybody fucking hated it. But anyway.
I'm sure they didn't hate that you had it.
No, I thought it was a cool belt. I really liked it. I don't know.
The spinner belt wasn't the worst.
Edge liked it so much he put his aura on it.
See, that was bad because that just looks like a fucking sticker.
Well, that was the concept. Not to have an R spinner, but the concept at that point was that Edge was going to get his own belt. But of course, slow as shit, J-Mar would have fucking taken 10 years to finish it. So they said, "Fuck it, let's just change the spinner out and put the R logo." Even his nameplate had the R on the sides when he won the big gold. You know
what's that?
Even the nameplate, when Edge won the big gold belt, had the little R on both sides of his name.
Oh yeah,
the
later. Yeah.
So he was really the first guy that put a logo of his own on the belt. You know, I mean, Austin had his own belt, but it didn't have. Well, I mean, I guess the smoking skull, but
I hated that shit too.
Yeah, that was Did you ever see the Rock's belt, the one with the horns that they
never showed
that
up?
That never showed up. I mean, it exists.
So that seems like. That's something that they were going to do for whoever was the champion.
They were trying to bring it back after with Cena. They were just going to leave that spinner for Cena. But then everybody started carrying it anyway, so it didn't matter.
God.
Triple H used to carry it. Sheamus used to wear it. Like, everybody.
And I hated how, like... was the spinner the worst thing in the world? Probably not. But I hate how belts don't curve.
Well, that...
So when you hold the belt, you have to hold it, and it doesn't just kind of, like... fly over. It's like a right angle.
Well, the spinner belt you can't because it's got a spin.
Exactly.
That's the headache.
But even like, it's weird. Some of the belts now, they just...
No, they're curved.
They are. Let's see. I'm trying to think of which one. Oh, but... And the way people hold the belts piss me off too. This is just because we're belt marks. I say, like, say you're raising the belt. I hate when people hold it by the plate. And just leave the straps like dangling.
No, you're supposed to hold it by one end of the strap.
One end of the strap and let it just kind of hang over. So like you're just like, and the Rock's way was like the better of like.
The shoulder.
Yeah, but like he was just, he was just like throw it.
I don't like when they throw the belt. Like I hated when Austin used to throw the belt around, like run into the ring and just throw it in the ring.
Like, yeah, you're...
It's like you... If you
Jinder Mahal, The Miz held the belt awful because he held it by the spinner plate.
Yeah.
And Jinder Mahal also holds it, I think, by the plate. Which, again, this is like... When wrestling fans are like listening, like, are you too fucking serious? And it's not... We're not critical of these guys. We're just such belt fans and how you're...
Show off the belt.
And what you're supposed to do with the belt that...
You know what really irks me?
What?
When somebody wins a title and they hold it upside down.
Oh!
DDP was notorious for that shit.
Kali did it too.
Fucking idiots.
Big Indian dummy.
Durka, 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 durka.
You want to mention... Game Changer, they had their tournament of death.
I'm happy to mention it for Louie, but I pulled up
results. Okay. And speak of the devil, Louie just texted me results or messaged or commented results.
Like, comment on that shit, man.
Survival tournament took place.
He's probably listening and going, I'm listening, having my Four Loko on the train, this fucking traffic. These motherfuckers.
Nick Gage won it. So there you go. Beat Matt Tremont to win the second annual tournament. Survival. I think this is the Survival of the Sickest, right? Is that the one?
Is it?
I don't know. Unless they do two tournaments. But Joey Janela won his match. I love some Joey Janela. Masada won a match against Danny Havoc.
Masada, dude. Those fucking chicken, the shish kebab skewers to the head. That shit is so gnarly.
Am I fucking reading this right?
Yes.
Hold on, wait. Matt Tremont defeated John Danzig with interference from Schlack, who had been hung by meat hooks atop the arena. I thought that had already happened.
Wait, is that what Louis sent you?
Yeah, that's what Louis sent me.
No, I fucked it up! Dude, meat hooks? So, like, Ryback was hanging from the ceiling holding on to him?
God, I hope they paid Ryback's rate. God,
it's fucking marks.
Fucking marks.
That's my Ryback impression.
No. Why? Because they're fucking marks.
Is that a good one? Fucking marks.
No. He actually talks more like non-animal than...
Oh, fucking marks.
Good.
Fucking marks.
No, fucking... Dude, I want to have a beer with him so bad. Like, it's...
Oh, Ryback?
Yeah. I think I'd have the best time getting drunk with Ryback.
Great. So you're a mark just like fucking Dave Sturgio.
I'm not a mark. I'm just...
You're a mark, bro.
That's true. I am a mark.
Come on. But I'm fucking, like, you'd walk around with Zubaz with your 20-foot boner just to fucking meet Ryback, have a fucking beer with him. Dude, invite him to the hat.
Like, do you ever have a, like somebody like, you're like, dude, that's cool. That's a cool guy. I would like to have a beer with him.
Yeah, and you know what you need to do? You fucking, you see him at the bar, you grab two beers, you roll up on him and go, Wonder Years coming out on DVD soon. Like, get away from me. How'd you know I was a fan, you fucking mark?
Oh. Like, Matt, he loves baseball. Lead with that. Lead with that.
Jesus Christ. Like, two fucking idiots.
You love baseball. He loves baseball. There's baseball on TV.
Like, the time I went to the fucking bar after ECW in Philly, and I'm fucking watching these two little girls fucking giggling. Oh, my God, it's Raven. We should go talk to him. What do we say? I don't know. And I turn around, almost fell off the bar stool after I was talking with fucking Devon and Fonzie. I go, just talk to him. What's he going to do, yell at you?
See, this is, yeah, this is.
Little did I know that, that Raven would be the one to yell at him.
See, this is fucking weird about how that shit works. Two different stories, two different scenarios where we bought beers for people as like a lead-in to...
Oh, you're telling the
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mr. 600,000 listens on Jericho's podcast.
Fucking Rob Van Dam, buy him a beer. We say, hey, listen, tell Rob we'd like to buy him a beer. Waitress goes over, buys him a beer. He gets up, comes over to us. Talks to introduce Shining Wizards, this and that. He's like, oh, man, yeah, cool. And then every time we saw him after, I'd be like, we saw him at House of Glory, I think, once. And he's like, I know you guys, but I'm not exactly sure how. And I'm like, Shining Wizards, you did the genius pop, the Poffo read with us. He's like, oh, yeah, that was so much fun. How'd that turn out?
I'm
like,
terribly.
Yeah. We didn't tell him that. God, I'm so mad. That was such a fucking, no pun intended, genius idea that it should have fucking taken off. Like,
you know what's going to happen 10 years from now? They're going to pick up on that, and it's going to become a big thing.
Should put it out again.
It's going to be over. You know what? Maybe I'll throw it up as a best of this week.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that.
Who's on that show?
Oh, like, it's a who's who cavalcade of a talent, including Jeff Jarrett telling a story about how the promotions were crossing, the Jarretts and the Poffos. And who else was on there? Van Damme was on there. I think we had Mike Bennett, Drew Gulak. We had a bunch of people. Bill Apter. Yeah. Reading as Bruno Sammartino.
Is there anybody that we had on there, that, to your knowledge, that other than you mentioned Drew Gulak, but that was like independent at the time and is now signed?
It's possible, dude. I'd have to go back and check.
That was a while ago. Yeah, it was. Because that would be pretty dope, too, and probably get a little more...
Well, there's tons of guys that have been on the show that are, you know, in WWE right now.
Right.
You know? Do you have anything you want to add before we wrap this up? I think it's getting to be about that time.
Did we ever wrap the bow on the Scott Steiner?
Did you ever pick? Like, my thought was the tag run...
He had a decent run in TNA, too, but I don't think he was ever a TNA world champion.
Maybe not.
Because whenever he was there...
Probably legacy belt, I'm thinking. Maybe. Maybe not.
Maybe. I think he was a tag champ, though. Let's see.
I don't know. I don't know too much about his TNA run.
Because every time he was there, it was like to be the... Like, Jarrett was there. Sting was there.
I just remember...
Christian was there.
He had his battle with Hogan. Remember he was talking so much shit about Hogan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they fucking, well, it was more one-sided than anything. But, yeah, Steiner was not a happy camper. He sued the company, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good old Scotty.
One way, they sued him or he sued them. I think
they sued him because he was talking shit about the company and Hogan after he got fired or after he left or something like that. They were crying no compete clause. Not no compete, nah. No disparaging comments clause, like, you know.
White Thunder. It was White Thunder.
Oh, yuck.
That was his name.
Why did I say
White Lightning? I don't
know. Because that's Mega Powers. In the
yes, when he does the show
with Tony C.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ground Round Tony C.
How about this? How about the World Wrestling All-Stars? That's my favorite Scott Steiner.
Oh, God.
That's my favorite Scott Steiner.
Honestly, I think Crowbar was involved in that, too. Sabu might have been involved. I think Jarrett was involved in it as well.
Everyone was. That was the... All right, so total nonstop action.
Yeah. Anything under championships and achievements or accomplishments? Anything like that? That's usually the bottom of the page where you get the references.
Okay.
There's just so many Scott Steiner championships, folks. Give us a second. Kevin's looking around.
Nope.
Don't forget, we have tons of shirts available at ProWrestlingTees.com.
Tag Team Champion with Booker T.
/ Shining Wizards. And Twitter, Instagram. Do we do Instagram anymore?
I have to. I checked the. I don't know if you know how. If you still have the original login.
I saw the email. I don't know. I'd have to. You got to talk to Matt. So I never had the login.
Can you,
well, Instagram.
Do you have the email?
I do have it.
Do you have the email password and login?
Yes, let me give it to you right now.
So
your expression changed so quickly.
You honestly think I was expecting you to give it to me on the fucking show? If you think that I'm fucking dumb, you are without a doubt the dumbest human being on the fucking planet. If you have that little respect for me that you thought that I thought you were going to give me the password on the air.
I am not the dumbest human being on the planet. You know who is? All the people out there that haven't bought a shirt yet from our store at ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards. We've got them all available. Matter of fact, we're the only show on the on Pro Wrestling Tees that has had shirt pulls pulled not only by Hulk Hogan,
that's right,
but also by the RIAA, which is the Recording Industry Association of America.
Scott Steiner was the world champion, so that was my favorite run.
What, the
RIAA?
Double A. It was his spot, damn it. Yeah, so please go buy a shirt. You know what you do this weekend? I want you to put in your order.
Can I make a request real
quick? Go ahead.
My birthday is coming up. My birthday is June 12th. That is Monday.
That's my mom's birthday.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
Happy birthday, Mama Tony.
Yes.
All right. I don't want any presents from anybody. All I want you all to do, if you really want to wish me a happy birthday.
Here we go.
Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards. You buy something, so essentially you are spending money on me.
Ooh.
But you get to enjoy the purchase, so it's a gift for you too.
I got an idea.
All right.
Anybody that purchases a shirt between now and Monday will get a phone call thanking you for buying it, and then you can wish Kevin a happy birthday in person.
Wait, why would I?
Because that's the gimmick that...
Who wants to talk to me?
You'd be surprised, bro. I'm sure. Kevin! Are you going to call me?
They have all the shirts.
They could always use... No, they don't. I actually put up a Redux shirt. Redux? Yes. It's the Shining Wizards logo with just the Shining Wizards under it.
Oh.
Yes. So if you don't have that in your collection, I suggest getting that before somebody else sues us and takes it down or whatever they do.
Yeah, so... All right, fine. If you buy a shirt...
Yes, I like this.
I will give you a phone call thanking you, and then you can wish me a happy birthday.
Yes, so put your phone number in the comments, and Kevin will call you. This is great.
This is, we're blatantly stealing from Pritchard and Shivani again.
Hey, if we sell even one shirt, it was successful.
I'm going to buy one.
Absolutely.
I want to get some of those tank tops. Yo, we got tank tops for the summer, bro.
Long sleeve. Long sleeve. Women's
for the heroin addicts that don't want to show fucking scars.
Yeah, you got to cover that up for the summer, folks. You always tell the heroin addict at the beach in the summertime.
That's right.
Short shorts and long sleeves.
God.
Jesus. Oh, shit. So, yeah, support us. Go buy a shirt. Leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, and anywhere else you can leave us a review. Put it on Yelp, for Christ's sakes.
That's right.
Do a review of Shining Wizards on Yelp. Fuck it. Tell your family and friends. Tell everybody, and we got great shows on the Shining Wizards Network. Please don't forget to support all of our brothers in arms, even guys that aren't on the Shining Wizards Network, guys that we talk about, guys that we don't talk about. Support everybody. It's a good thing. Do we have music to go out on?
I don't know, but I got some plugs.
Oh, okay, plugs. I'm sorry.
No, it's no problem at all. Let's see.
You got a show Sunday.
I have a show tomorrow night, I have a show Wednesday night, and then I have a show next Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, tomorrow night back at the Joke Barrel in West Orange, Sunday night at Tierney's Comedy Catalyst in Montclair. That's also for a charity, the Valerie Fund, which is, if you don't know, I'm not going to get too deep into my history, but it's a big part of my childhood and my family's childhood. They help sick kids with cancer or blood diseases. They help their families. They put them up in hotels if their kid's in the hospital and shit like that. They support them in any way they can. So that's this Sunday in Montclair, New Jersey. So if you're in earshot of Montclair, it's $15. It's for a good cause, fundraisers, and it's my birthday. So come
go
out.
Go, Kevin! It's birthday! Go, Kevin! It's birthday!
So come hang out. It's for charity. It's for my birthday. It's going to be great. And then the Outdoor Summer Comedy Series comes back to West Orange. That's a lineup that we have with Chris Johnston, who's going to be the headliner, who tours with the Impractical Jokers. Very funny guy. So that's June 21st in West Orange, New Jersey. Hit me up on Twitter at Kevin Garifo. It's GARIFO on Instagram, Shining Wizards Kevin. And yeah, so those are my plugs.
Yeah, kid. Lots of wrestling this weekend. Lots of comedy the next couple of weeks.
That's right.
Get out and spend some of that money you're making now that Donald Trump's in office and the fucking stock market's over 45,000 right now.
Yes. Go see WrestlePro online in Keyport.
Yes. And then go see Tier 1. Go see Warriors. Go see everybody.
Wildcat. Fuck it. Dude, I'm excited to hear about how Wildcat does.
No, you do. Throw a fucking piece of raw meat between your dogs and watch them fucking wrestle.
There you go.
It's a good time. Good times we had by all. I kind of feel bad because I don't have like any birthday music here. But I think I have something appropriate to close the show with for you.
I can't wait.
Well, I wrote this song for the Christian youth. I want to teach kids the Christian truth.
Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, if you're listening live, stay tuned on The Rant. It's coming up next at 9 o'clock. If you're listening to podcast form, thanks again for downloading, and we will see you next week.
Bye, 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 bye. Woo.
He's a life changer, miracle arranger, born to the virgin mom in a manger, water to wine, he's a drink exchanger, and he died for your sins. I preach the word, that's my gig, and I rhyme better than Notorious Big. All the other MCs, I wish them well, but if you live in sin, you burn in hell. Now I'ma pass the mic to my lovely wife. She's a fly MC and the light of my life. So to bust a rhyme without further ado, take it away, Mary Sue.
Jesus Christ is my nigga. He's the son of the original G. And he was sent to Earth to elucidate the way that we should be. What? Like if another MC says, you're a freak, you're a lame butt rapper and your rhymes are weak. I don't get mad and I don't critique. I forgive him and turn the other cheek. I don't blaspheme and I don't brag. I don't cuss and my pants don't sag. I do exude a little Christian swag and I'm proud to be an American.
Jesus Christ is a nigga. Let his light shine through ya. Let his love pop a cap in your butt and say hallelujah. Jesus Christ is a nigga. He's a homie MC, JC, you see, he's an honest, caring, peace-loving nigga like me. If you do drugs and you think you're cool, you need to come to Sunday school. Put those drugs in a garbage can. Stand up tall, you're a Christian man. Word up. I'm freestyling.
Hit me.